listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. Joining us today, veteran Western Mass journalist Kristen Palpini and Ron Chmelis, columnist with the Springfield Republican newspaper. Kristen, Ron, it's great to have you back with us today.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
We start this week with the cost of recycling in Western Massachusetts. China and other countries are accepting far fewer recyclables, and that's putting a financial strain on many communities in Western Mass who are looking to dispose of the items. David Abel is the environment reporter for the Boston Globe.
For many communities, it will increase from paying nothing to as much as $150 on average over a several-year contract per ton.
Kristen Abel told me that a state-owned recycling facility in Springfield says it can't go any lower with what it charges cities and towns. But when the issue affects dozens of communities, should the state be doing more?
I think so. I think the state has a responsibility to step in here because everybody's facing it. It's all going to hit kind of at once over the next couple of years as everybody's renegotiating their contracts. We've got towns that were getting $12 to $70 per ton of recyclables that are now paying hundreds of dollars, and we all know things are tight.
Ron, there's also word that some of the larger cities in the area split off and find their own deals elsewhere. That could raise prices further for the rest. Your thoughts on that?
Well, this is uncharted territory. It's a type of an issue that maybe these cities could have foreseen but didn't really want to foresee it. It's not a really open competitive industry either. So I agree that the state at some point soon is going to have to do something to bring some ease to this burden. It's new and it's heavy.
Also this week, it was a story of the best of times and the worst of times for Massachusetts casinos in December. The Encore Boston Harbor Casino had its best full month since opening last June, in numbers released by the state this week, collecting $54 million. But MGM Springfield and Plain Ridge Park Slots Parlor posted their weakest months yet. Ron, revenue at MGM Springfield failed to crack $19 million. Its head alluded that weather in December had something to do with it, but the trend line goes back several months. Is this cause for concern?
Yes, I think it is cause for concern because it is a trend. Anybody can have a bad month. Someone told me this obviously shows that the anti-addiction to gambling campaigns are working. We should be happy, but we're not happy because we had a high hopes for MGM, and it does seem to be sliding in the opposite direction. And unless they can give a reason why that's only temporary, there's some reason to worry.
Kristen, one reason might be the Encore Boston Harbor Casino. Since it opened, the other two casinos have generally seen their gambling business slide. Is the Eastern Mass Casino cannibalizing the rest of the state's gambling industry?
Oh, well, it's absolutely drawing from it right now. I have to say, whatever's new is going to attract people, and people from Worcester now have another option to gamble close. So I think Ron is right, though. I think this is more than they anticipated, and I think they did see this coming. So that it's even worse than they expected is troublesome.
This week was also the 10-year anniversary of the suicide of Phoebe Prince. The South Hadley, Massachusetts high school student died by suicide after months of bullying. Elizabeth Englander, director of the Massachusetts Aggression Reduction Center at Bridgewater State University, says the suicides of Prince and another student, Carl Walker Hoover of Springfield, just months before, had a big impact in the state.
The cumulative effect of these two suicides really woke people up to the seriousness of this issue.
Kristen, the state now has a bullying law and there seems to be more attention to the subject, but still, is there enough being done?
That's hard to say right now. It's such a difference from just 10 years ago, I feel like. Well, 10 years ago is when this all happened. So it's a big difference from then. With how much you see bullying being addressed in schools, especially elementary and middle school level, there's programs on it. Children practice what it looks like to intervene in a bullying situation. It's very different. I don't know that it's paying off as much as we'd hope. I don't know those numbers, but it's definitely in the right direction.
Ron, you teach a social studies class at a local Catholic school. What do you see from your perspective?
You know, I honestly don't know what more schools can be expected to do. This is on everyone's mind and constant. And I hate to say there's only so much you can do, but certainly the message is out there. The awareness and observation is out there. The only thing I could think of that could be possibly increase is involvement directly between schools and parents, but they have some of that too. So there has been improvement. It's not perfect. You want perfection, but it's in the right direction. I'm not so much sure even the public schools can be expected to do more than they do.
And we wrap up this week taking a look at baseball. The Red Sox and former manager Alex Cora parted ways over Cora's involvement in baseball's sign-stealing scandal this week. Cora is one of three managers who lost jobs over this. Ron, we don't know what Cora's punishment is going to be for Major League Baseball yet, but what about this decision by the Red Sox?
Well, they're very brand conscious, and they didn't want this to be the narrative to go through the entire season. And as long as he was the manager of the team, that's what people are going to talk about. And you know, it's a shame because he was popular, he was likable, he was a good manager in my opinion. But after 2017, when he was warned, he should have said, stop me before I cheat again. I think they're going to throw the book at him because he did twice as much with two organizations as the people that they already suspended.
And Ron, what about the impact on the team going forward? Spring training's only a few weeks away.
This is not an easy time to switch managers. Teams do not do this by choice. Jason Varitek is a popular choice, and it wouldn't surprise me because that would allow people to feel good about the situation again. And he has managerial credentials, or at least we think he does. So that wouldn't surprise me. They have to make a decision very soon.
As do two other teams, the New York Mets and the Houston Astros. Kristen, as I've mentioned before in the shortlist, you are a Yankees fan. The Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox, two of the Yankees' biggest rivals in the American League, and they're in the middle of turmoil. I don't imagine you're shedding a tear for either one right now.
Oh, it's schadenfreude. Shameful joy. What can I say? Yankees fan.
And Ron, the Red Sox, or some of them at least, will be in Springfield for the winter weekend at MGM Springfield. So it'll be very interesting to see what kind of face they put on publicly in the media events and with the fans.
I'll be curious how open they are to even talk about it, because if the manager was cheating, the players were involved. And knowing ball players, I don't think they're going to greet these questions, but it's going to be hard to avoid them. That's the news story right now, and I think they're going to have to face it.
You know, if they do end up bringing Jason Varitek in, even as a Yankees fan, I would be really excited. He's a class act.
Of course, the former catcher for the Red Sox, part of that 2004 World Championship team, and Kristen Palpini, veteran Western Mass journalist, and Ron Chmielewski with The Republican. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. You can also listen to us wherever you get your podcasts or by going to nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.